Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
As the latest debate over guns continues following last week's school shooting in Florida, a new study out this morning says troubled children with at-risk behavior such as depression are just as likely to have access to firearms in their homes as are more well-adjusted youth. The study was co-authored by Dr. Matthew Miller, professor of health sciences and epidemiology at Northeastern University, who joins us now to discuss the findings. Dr. Miller, good morning, and thanks for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition.
Good morning.
So let me ask, the frequent narrative after horrific incidents seems to be that we learn troubled young people had easy access to firearms, and it seems like your study bears this out. Is that true?
Our study certainly does, Bob. We found that in homes with children and guns, only one out of three parents store their guns in accordance with American Academy of Pediatric recommendations. That is, only one out of three store their guns locked up and unloaded.
Is the message just not getting through to parents, do you think, or what's the issue there?
I think the message must not be getting through because so many store their guns in a way that allows their children to gain access. And of course, gun-owning parents care about their kids just as much as non-gun-owning parents. And so the failure must be in getting the message across.
You know, I have to say on the face of it, it seems kind of startling that parents who must know that their kids are troubled are taking these risks in storing their weapons. I'm just so surprised by that.
Yeah, it's a sobering statistic. But even for those parents whose children don't have sort of recognized mental health problems, only one out of three are storing their guns in ways that make it the most difficult for their children to have guns in their home. We published a study earlier this year that might shed some light on this. We asked gun owners and non-gun owners if they thought that a gun in the home increased the risk of suicide. And among gun-owning households, roughly 5% thought that a gun increased the risk of suicide. 95% did not agree with that sort of actuarially incontrovertible fact that guns greatly increase the risk of suicide, especially for children.
What do you hope this new study accomplishes?
I hope that parents recognize that they're unwittingly not only assuming risk for themselves, but imposing it on everyone in their home, especially the risk of suicide, and that they absorb that information and do what I expect they would do if they understood the risk that they were placing everyone in their home at on account of not storing guns safely.
But how optimistic are you that that change or those changes will occur, given that we have a horrible history of horrific shootings, including school shootings in the U.S., and these stories just seem to keep repeating themselves?
I've been studying guns for over 20 years, and I've had my hopes dashed on several occasions, including after Sandy Hook. But the only way that things are going to change is if we don't despair. And there is something about the way that the students in Parkland have organized themselves and their energy and commitment and moral authority that makes this time feel more hopeful for some sort of sensible shift. Look, it took a long time to get people to stop smoking in theaters. It got a long time for people to stop driving their cars without buckling up. What's required is a shift in the way that people who own guns think about responsible gun ownership.
Dr. Matthew Miller, professor of health sciences and epidemiology at Northeastern University, thanks for speaking to WBUR's Morning Edition today about your new study.
Thank you, Bob.